Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of Sterling Tools Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Agarwal, Managing Director of Sterling Tools Limited. Thank you, and over to Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sterling Tools Limited's Q4 and FY26 earnings call. I'm joined today by Mr. Jaideep Wadhwa and Mr. Anish Agrawal, who head our SEM and STML businesses, respectively, as well as Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Our earnings presentation has been uploaded on our website and the stock exchanges, and I hope everyone has had the opportunity to go through the same. I would like to begin with the industry overview. The Indian automobile industry witnessed a strong recovery during FY26, supported by improving affordability, lower financing costs, GST 2.0, implementation and stronger consumer sentiment. Passenger vehicles recorded their highest-ever annual sales of 46.4 lakh units, growing at 7.9% year-on-year, while Q4 26 itself delivered robust growth of 13.2% year-on-year with record quarterly sales. The two-wheeler segment also has achieved its highest-ever annual sales at 2.17 crore units, growing 10.7% year-on-year and surpassing the earlier peak achieved in FY19. Similarly, commercial vehicles and three-wheelers posted healthy double-digit growth of 12.6% during the year, supported by improving economic activity, infrastructure spending, fleet replacement demand, and rising mobility requirements across urban and semi-urban regions. Looking ahead, the industry outlook for FY27 remains constructive, supported by healthy domestic demand, continued infrastructure investments, improving affordability, and sustained momentum in vehicle electrification across all segments. However, uncertainties arising from the West Asia crisis, particularly around crude oil prices, commodity inflation, currency fluctuations, and potential disruptions in global shipping routes, remain key monitorable factors for the automotive sector. In our standalone fastener business, FY26 was a strong year of execution, where the business continued to demonstrate its structural strength through consistent market outperformance, healthy profitability expansion, and strong cash flow generation despite a dynamic operating environment. Our continued focus on customer diversification, value-added product offerings, operational efficiencies, and deeper OEM penetration enabled us to grow meaningfully ahead of the underlying automotive industry. Our standalone fastener business delivered a robust performance during FY26. Total income grew by 11.4% YoY to 725.9 crores, while EBITDA increased by 17.1% YoY to 111 crores, with EBITDA margins improved to 15.3% compared to 14.5% last year. Profit before exceptional items grew by 27.6% YoY to 74 crores, supported by better operating leverage, favorable product mix, increasing share of value-added products, improved gross margins, continued operational efficiencies, and financial discipline. Our balance sheet has also strengthened further during the year, with continued deleveraging, lower long-term borrowings, and reduction in finance costs. Cash flow from operations from the standalone fastener business stood at 83.3 crores during FY26. FY26. Looking ahead, we expect CapEx for the fasteners business to in FY27 to be around 75 crores, primarily towards capacity expansion, operational enhancements, and future growth programs. Importantly, our standalone fastener business continues to remain strongly cash generative and net debt free, providing a solid financial foundation to internally support our long-term investments across EV and technology-led growth initiatives. During FY26, we significantly strengthened our OEM relationships through our new customer additions and increased wallet share with existing customers. We entered the Tata passenger vehicle segment during the year, which further strengthens our long-term growth visibility. Over the years, our strategy has remained focused on increasing content per vehicle, strengthening our presence in critical fasteners, and expanding our premium and value-added product portfolio, which offers better margins and stronger customer stickiness. During FY26, we secured approximately 64 crores of business acquisitions, which further strengthen future revenue visibility. While steel and energy prices have witnessed inflationary pressures in recent months and near-term impact could flow into Q1 FY27, we remain focused on mitigating the impact through operational efficiencies, value engineering, disciplined cost management, and pass-through arrangements. We therefore believe the overall impact on profitability should remain manageable. In our EV business, while electrification continues to remain a long-term structural opportunity, EV adoption across segments has progressed at a slower pace than earlier industry expectations. As a result, the broader EV opportunity timeline has shifted by nearly 3 to 5 years, and therefore may defer our targeted EV and non-EV business mix aspirations by about a year. However, we remain committed to building a strong position in this space and have continued to proactively invest in products, technology, localization, engineering capabilities, and customer programs. Alongside product and customer diversification, we have also significantly strengthened our technology ecosystem through multiple global partnerships, which we believe has further enhanced our long-term positioning in the EV ecosystem. Over the last few years, SEM has evolved from being primarily a motor control unit player into a comprehensive EV powertrain and power electronic solution platform. Today, our portfolio includes integrated motor and controller systems, DC-DC converters, onboard chargers, off-board chargers, and rare earth magnet-free motors. The EV market is increasingly moving toward integrated power electronics architecture such as 4-in-1 and 5-in-1 systems, where multiple components including motor control units, DC-DC converters, auxiliary drive, and PDUs are integrated into a single compact system. In line with this trend, we are actively expanding our capabilities in integrated motor and controller solutions to address next generation EV platform requirements. Today, SEM is engaged across more than 28 active customer programs spanning two-wheelers, three-wheelers, buses, and trucks. Customer diversification is progressing well, with meaningful traction now across LCV and HCV segments. We are particularly encouraged by the increasing opportunities emerging in commercial vehicle electrification, especially electric buses and trucks, driven by government-led electrification initiatives. Our OBC and DC-DC production lines are expected to be commissioned by end of Q2 FY27, and commercial supplies are expected to commence from Q3 FY27 onwards. Recently, we also expanded into advanced rider safety solutions through our partnerships with Nanjing Haohang for advanced rider assistance systems, or ARAS, specifically designed for two-wheelers. ARAS solutions function primarily to ADAS in passenger vehicles and use sensors, software, and control systems to provide real-time alerts and assist riders in avoiding potential hazards. Under this collaboration, Sterling Tools will lead local engineering, manufacturing, system adaptation, and commercialization of ARAS products for the Indian market by combining Haohang's proven technology platform with our understanding of Indian road conditions and OEM requirements. We believe this partnership strategically positions Sterling Tools within the intelligent mobility and automotive safety space while addressing a critical safety gap in India's two-wheeler industry. Coming to Sterling Tech Mobility, or STML, we continue to make steady progress in the HVDC contactors and relays business. Customer validations, laboratory testing, and Tier 1 engagements are progressing well, and commercial production for serial orders is expected to commence from July-August 26 onwards, while supplies for brand-labeled products have already started. The current Indian market opportunity for HVDC contactors and free charge relays is estimated at approximately 300 crores and expected to grow to over 750 crores by the end of this decade, driven by increasing electrification across two-wheelers, passenger vehicles, commercial vehicles, charging infrastructure, solar, and battery energy storage applications. As an early entrant in the segment, with a strong localization strategy and technology partnership with Kunshan GLBAC, we believe STML is well positioned to benefit from this large import substitution opportunity. Our fully automated Bangalore facility has been designed to manufacture safety-critical high-voltage components with global quality standards. And we continue to engage closely with customers across automotive and industrial applications. Overall, while EV adoption timelines have moderated in the near term, our continued focus on technology partnerships, localization, product diversification, and engineering capabilities positions us for strong long-term growth. Supported by a strong balance sheet, healthy cash flows, and deep customer relationships, we remain confident in our ability to create sustainable value across both conventional and next-generation mobility technologies. Thank you. We may now open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Madhurati from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding this 21 crore loss at our subsidiary level that we have taken during Q4. So, what is this regarding? And,
Okay, Jadeep, you want to take that?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for joining the call. In terms of operating EBITDA, we haven't or operating a PBT, we don't have as severe a problem as seems apparent. We have, however, taken a provision, a bad debt provision, in line with prudent accounting standards. Even though we think there's a high chance of there's a high probability of recovering the dues, be very prudent in our financial statements.
Sir, this is regarding to the customer that for which the business had lost earlier.
This is from one of our bigger customers.
Got it. Sir, now coming up to our fasteners business, sir, I wanted to understand: is there a price reduction contract with the OEMs in this segment? And you mentioned that due to steel and energy prices, there should be some margin impact. But what kind of margin pressure are we speaking about with all the initiatives that we have taken?
Is this for the fasteners business? Any specific?
Yes, sir.
So, you know...
Yes, sir. Fasteners.
So, we have a pass-through for our steel purchases. So, and there's a lag of a month or two, but it's a straight pass-through. But this year there's been an unusual pressure on inflation. For example, chemicals, plastics, energy, energy costs have all gone up. So there's been a tremendous pressure on that. I think we like I said in my earlier talk, that we should be able to mitigate that through internal efficiency improvement. Plus, at the same time, we will be working with the customers to get compensation for this unique or a very extreme scenario the industry is going through. So it'll be a combination of both the things. So there will be pressure this year. Like I said, Q1 will be special pressure because this will be an adjustment quarter between combination of costs and customer price increases, operational efficiency improvements. But I think this is an industry level issue, not only impacting automotive industry, but pretty much everybody across the board.
Right. We expect that there should be some price hike by the OEMs from Q2 onwards based on our discussions?
Yes, we are quite hopeful of that, yes.
Got. And sir, do we have annual price reduction contracts for these fasteners across these OEMs?
No, we don't have any price reduction contracts, nowhere.
Prices remain
constant. They are negotiated on different competitive and cost scenarios, but there are no reduction contracts.
Got it. And what would be our market share in the fastener segment in India, and how much of our revenue currently comes from non-automotive customers? And I think you mentioned previously that we were trying to get into railways and some other industrial applications for these fasteners. So what is the progress on that?
So I think pretty much all our, I would say, dominant revenue comes from automotive industry. And there's no hard published data on market shares in India. Our estimations are that for the automotive industry, pure automotive segment, we are anywhere between 25 and 30% of market share in the country. And
what?
That also
and
depends. I'm talking about the domestic buying. A lot of fasteners are currently being imported as well. From a domestic manufacturing perspective, that's where we stand.
Got it. Is the import cheaper than us, or is import more competitive than us from a cost perspective?
So it's not cheaper. I think these OEMs are all international OEMs. They've been importing for a number of years. But some of the OEMs have not localized them to Indian manufacturers. And that's an opportunity. As in when the OEMs localize, the opportunities will come to us. So it's not a commercial issue. It's more of a strategic issue at the customer end.
Got it. And so on the non-auto fastener segment, any progress on any new railway or industrial applications?
So I think we're going to build capabilities around the railway segment. Early days as yet. I don't see that railway opportunity turning into any meaningful revenue for the next two years.
Got it. Now, sir, coming out to our the EV component segment, so I see that we are doing a lot of interesting JVs, but these are not picking up, and we are going forward and we've added mobile eye for your driver safety segment. So what is our vision for this segment, and where do we see this business scaling up realistically over the next 2 to 3 years? Do we see, so right now it's a margin decorative kind of a segment for our business. So where should we see this segment maybe over the next 2 to 3 years?
So let me just step back for a moment when we have started our journey in the EV component space about 5-6 years ago. And 5-6 years ago, EV was a big buzzword internationally. There was a lot of momentum, and we thought that the penetration in India will be much faster than it has happened. I think two-wheeler present get 5-7%. And I think the passenger vehicles have only gone up this year to about 4-5% of penetration. But these numbers are much behind the expectations the industry had, the government had, and we had where we should be in FY26. By the penetration levels expected were much higher by FY26 and by FY30. And I think for various reasons it could be, you know, government infrastructure issues, subsidy issues, technology issues, the industry has not been able to create that demand for electric vehicles for various reasons. But having said that, despite this delay in penetration, we are still quite optimistic about our future. We are building our future today. We are continuing to invest into our future of electric vehicle components. Like I spoke about the different products coming in SEM, moving from an MCU maker only to a 4-in-1, 5-in-1, a solution provider in power electronics. And we're doing safety components in DC contactors. We are targeting advanced rider automotive systems, ADAS, radar, etc. We are building products which are here for the future. They may not give us revenue for the next 2-3 years, but we want to be the first mover in that, in those spaces. Acquire customers, revenue may be small initially, but hopefully over a 3-to-5-year time frame, we'll be ahead of the system in terms of those product lines. And yes, you're right, currently they're all value decreative, but we are not looking for the short term. We are building our future, like I said, medium and long term.
Right. Sure, but if I'm thinking from a capital allocation standpoint, so we are investing...
Lost you. Currently,
in manpower. Yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Can you repeat that question again?
Yes, sir. So from a capital allocation standpoint, how should I look at this business? Because we are investing into capacity, we are investing into manpower, but this won't maybe pick up over the next 2-3 years, very small, not meaningful revenue. So how should I look at from a payback or a IRR perspective on these investments that we are making? And sir, what is our right to win versus, please go ahead, I'll ask the question later.
Yeah, so, you know, our capital allocation for this new product line is more strategic. When you're building capabilities, when you're diversifying and increasing new product lines, we'll have to go through a phase which is value, which is margin decretive, which is capital needs. Building capabilities for technologies, for products which are not currently available in India. These are all first-time products being made in India for new segment for electric vehicles. So we are very conscious of that, and we still believe very strongly in our future in what we are trying to do based on our customer interaction, based on customer needs, based on customer engagements, and the technology partners we have. We believe we are on the right track. Short term, there's a lot of pain, like we have seen pain last year and the next year or two. But we strongly believe in our future.
Thank you. Madhura, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Payal Shah from Billion Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
So I have a couple of questions. My first question is, with the EV penetration scaling slower than earlier anticipated, and industry timelines are also getting pushed out by 3-5 years, is your expectation from SEM regarding achieving EBITDA break-even also shifted accordingly? Or do you expand product portfolio and upcoming OBC, DC ramp-up still keep you on track for the operating break-even over the medium term?
Jerry?
Yeah. Good morning, Payal. So a couple of things. You see, as far as SCM was concerned, we till FY25, we were profitable both at the EBITDA and at the PBT level. Due to certain conditions that we faced, and you know, which we could have probably done a better job of handling. But you know, we've had setbacks in FY 2026, and we will possibly not be, and we will not be profitable in FY 2027, but there is no reason for us not to be profitable in FY 2028. So yes, there is the penetration is lower than what we had anticipated. And but it's a very, very dynamic industry, right? And it's a very dynamic situation. With the current crisis in West Asia, actually, you're seeing much more, you're seeing renewed interest in EVs and in pushing EVs. The government is in terms of in the areas that they can influence directly, which is essentially the bus and truck platforms, they're pushing very hard on this. If you're aware of the number of tenders that have been issued, both you know, at the central level and at the state level, it's a very significant number. So yes, the penetration is slower, and there are reasons for that. Like Atul said, you know, the charging infrastructure, the subsidy, the limited subsidies that were provided, et cetera. But it continues to grow, at least as far as the SEM business is concerned, we expect to be back to profitability next year. The other businesses, you know, again, will have different timelines for profitability, depending on when they start. But you know, we don't. I think one of the things that Atul alluded to was that when, you know, we had put out a target that we wanted 50% of our revenue to come from non-fastener businesses, and that is getting pushed back, because as penetration is not coming up, then our ability to scale these businesses to that level is compromised. And again, you know, we are talking about not only electrification, not only EVs, but we are talking about autonomous connected electric, because the businesses that we've started with ADAS and ARAS are, you know, in the autonomous space rather than the pure EV space. And so, you know, that's the timeline that gets pushed back. Otherwise, you know, profitability, like I said, depends on, you know, when the businesses start up. There's typically a gestation, and we'll be on track with that. In the case of SEM, we had some unique circumstances, and we are on track to regain profitability.
Sure, sir. So my next question is, my next question is, like, you had highlighted an increased strategic focus on the commercial vehicle electrification opportunity within the MCU business. So, have you onboarded any new CV customers or platforms recently? And, also, how large do you see the addressable market opportunity for Sterling in the e-bus and e-truck MCU segment over the near term?
So, to answer your question, we have onboarded customers. We don't show that in our, you know, in the presentation yet, because we haven't started supplies. As we mentioned in the presentation, in quarter three this year, our lines will get commissioned, and that's when production supplies will start. But even today, we are actively working on testing and validation and homologation of our products. So yes, we are engaged with a number of customers on their platforms, on the LCV, sorry, on the bus and truck platforms. In terms of numbers, you know, we think that the industry should ramp up to about 10,000 units a year kind of numbers in the coming years for buses alone. Trucks is still there, you know, their truck is doing very well in certain applications like mining. And now I think we are seeing traction coming in applications like garbage trucks, which are, again, have a closed loop operating cycle. But the numbers on those are not fully understood.
Okay. Okay. That's helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ravi Gupta from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Sorry, I joined late. I don't know if you have covered this. So with many joint ventures and tech partnerships, what proportions of the EV content per vehicle they cover in, let's say, two-wheeler, car, or maybe you can talk about CV as well. And what gaps in tech can be covered in the next 2-3 years that you are in research?
You know, this is a very high-level question. There's not enough data to do that. We'll have to map all the product lines, volumes, etc. You know, Ravi, this is a very, you know, I won't use the word difficult. I don't think there's data to an answer to this question. Jadeep, Anish, you guys want to comment on this?
So I'll try and talk about I'll then request Anish to talk about the ADAS ARS portfolio. Typically, you know, in a two-wheeler platform, I think across the board with our current portfolio, we are looking at anywhere, but you know, for the smaller vehicles, up to 10% of the pack price or the vehicle price, and in the bigger platforms, up to 5%. So I'll give you a data point. You know, a multifunction unit for a bus will sell, depending on configurations, etc., will sell for 3 to 3.5 lakh rupees.
Right.
I think Ravi's question was what percentage of the spend of the vehicles. I think that's a difficult one. We know our price points.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the vehicles are selling for about 1 crore, Atul.
Right.
Yeah.
80, so anywhere between, I mean, it's difficult, and what Atul's saying is very true, because people are not selling buses as much. I mean, they actually, the tenders call for operating leases, right? Where the person, like companies like Switch or the others are actually operating these buses and are charging the government per kilometer. So it becomes a little bit more complicated. But if you look at the capital component of that, like I said, it could be, you know, 70 to a crore, and we are about 3.5 lakh rupees for multifunction units. 3 to 3.5.
In terms of two-wheelers and four-wheelers, can you?
So we are not in the passenger vehicle space. In the two-wheelers, again, you know, the motor control units that we started with, I mean, obviously the market's moving tremendously, but a motor, two-in-one motor and a motor control unit will typically be upward of 10,000 rupees. And you know, people who've been following this industry will recognize that there's a lot of efficiencies that have come in, a lot of cost reductions that have come in over a period of time. We started off selling just a motor control unit at 10,000 rupees. Now, a motor and motor control unit together are, say, depending on the size, up, you know, 14,000 or somewhere there. Integrated unit, yeah.
Thanks, that helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Vanshi Shah from EVN Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, my question is regarding, so given the ongoing West Asia-led supply chain disruption and the recent increase in steel and energy costs, could you elaborate on the extent of the pass-through arrangements available with OEM? Also, should we expect some moderation in standalone EBITDA margins from the current 15% levels in the near term? And what would you believe is the sustainable steady state margin profile for the Fastenal business?
So, Manchi, like I said earlier, and you know, I've been saying that steel is a straight pass-through. Okay, there may be a lag or a month or two or three, but it's a straight pass-through. Other value-added, other cost centers like energy, like chemicals, plastics, this has been a very extreme scenario in the last 3-4 months. So there are no norms for that. Since this is an extreme scenario, we hope to mitigate that through a combination of price increase with the customer and improving internal efficiencies. So to go to the second part of the question, there may be a short-term pressure on our margin structure, but long-term, our steady-state margin, like I've been saying in calls over the last few quarters as well, we are confident that we'll be able to maintain our EBITDA margins around 15% plus.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Madhurati from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, for the fasteners business, sir, what kind of growth should we expect as we already have a decent market share? So is there an import substitution opportunity or the growth will follow like the volume growth for the automobile industry going forward?
So we believe that we'll be able to grow faster than the automotive industry as a whole in India, which is what's happened last year. Our customer profile, our product mix, our capabilities, our resources we have built all India basis are extremely well positioned to leverage and the opportunity there is and give us the revenue growth we expect. So let me just say that unless there's an extreme black swan event, which is like currently the West Asia crisis, FY27 looks to be promising on top of a good FY26. And we hope to grow faster than the industry as a whole. Import substitution is a very slow process driven by the OEMs themselves. If they drive it hard enough, we are in a great place to localize the components as well. But that's a very slow opportunity.
Right. And sir, with the 75 crore capex, what kind of asset turns can we expect? And so basically, I'm trying to understand the revenue potential for this segment once we are done with the 75 crore capex and when will that commercialize?
So the 75 crore will all be commercialized last quarter of this financial year, Q4 FY27. Some will happen early, some will happen down the line, depending on the kind of equipment there is. This capex is done on various. One is pure capacity increase. Second is balancing of capacity. And lastly, is improving in operational efficiencies, quality improvements, engineering capabilities. So it's a combination of all that. A lot of our asset turns, what we invest this year, crystallizes in full revenue 12 months later or 24 months later. Since this capex is being invested in our current facilities, the turnaround could be as low as maybe 24 months. So our asset turns, if you look at a greenfield facility, go up to 5 years' time. But we are quite often, since, like I said, we are investing in our existing facilities. We should be able, if the market supports us, we should be able to turn that around in 24 months.
And sir, in terms of revenue potential for our asset base of the fastener segment with post this capex?
So like I've been saying in calls earlier, our current, based on the current capex we have, current in capacities we have, we can do a revenue of about 800 odd crores, 800 crores plus with the capex we are doing this year, and there'll be some additional capex coming in next year. We are building our capabilities to take it up to about 900 to 1,000 crores.
Got it. So 2x. Is it fair to assume that there is a two times asset turns for the fasteners business for the capex that will do this year and maybe going forward maybe next 2-3-4 years down the line?
So you know a two times asset turn in our business is very good. Since these, like I said, this is being invested in our current facilities, the asset turns are faster and more value creative. You know, we can turn them two times around. I think anywhere from 1.8 to is very good. According to our benchmarks we have, if we see competition in India and worldwide, it's a good number to work with.
Right. And sir, just a final question from mine, sir. On this OBC and DC-DC components that we are planning to supply to the planning to supply from Q3 of this year. So, how is the vendor selection strategy by the OEMs? Is it that 100% of will we be the single source supplier, or there will be multiple vendors on whose product these platforms will be created? So on that front,
To start with, we will be 100%. You know, that's typically the way it goes. Once volumes pick up, it is possible that they may want to get another, you know, customer may want to get a second source in to ensure, you know, business continuity in case of any, you know, force majeure or other events that may happen with one supplier. But typically when the volumes are, you know, in the few thousand units, they typically go with one supplier, and as of today we are a single source where we are supplying in for where we are, I won't say supplying, that's the incorrect word, where we are working with these companies on their contracts.
Right. And sir, what would be a right to win in these? So we have our existing clients, but for new customers, what would be a right to win? Is it based on the technology partner or the JVs? Is it based on their market share gain in their foreign respective market? Because of that, we'll be able to win in the domestic market, or how should I look at the right to win in the segment?
So, I mean, I have to say that, you know, it's not one factor. Definitely the credibility of our partners in the markets that they play in is very important. Our technical support capability, our responsiveness, our ability to develop the supply chain, these become very important. You know, it's similar to, you know, how it is with the motor control units for two-wheelers. It's the customers, you're talking about a very new industry, an industry that's moving very rapidly. So customers are always looking for partners who can support them technically and meet their commercial requirements. But technical support is crucial to this. And the ability to have the infrastructure, to have the ability to meet their customer requirements, to meet to resolve problems, to continue to you know, adapt, becomes very important. Now we have, and I just I mean, I'll just give you a little bit more detail. I mean, it may be boring technical, but you know, customers are looking for higher and higher integration because that reduces cost and makes makes vehicle development or vehicle integration easier. So that's why, you know, we started off first with a motor control unit. Then the customer said, well, can we have additional features in addition to the motor control unit in the same box? Now, our partners, GTEC, were working with a company called Landworld for OBC and DC-DCs to create these multifunction units. So we also tied up with Landworld. So now we have the ability to provide these 3-in-1, 4-in-1, 5-in-1, 6-in-1 units, right? So that becomes, that gives us, so, I mean, that gives us an edge because we are not only just giving them, you know, one product, like, you know, one motor control unit. We're giving them a solution that cuts down all the cabling that goes on inside a vehicle, that cuts down. Cabling also adds to failure routes. So it reduces cost, it reduces complexity, and that becomes important because not everyone can provide these multifunction units, you know, in especially in India because of the technical issues and the volumes.
Got it. So that was from my end. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Karan and Nitin, for organizing this for us. Thank you, everybody who had questions, and for people who joined. If you guys have any further queries or questions, we are happy to take them up. Karan and Nitin, I appoint people, so just forward it to them and we'll come back to you. Thank you once again, and I look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Sterling Tools Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you.